Praise the Lord. I do greet each and every one of you tonight in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to welcome you to our broadcast tonight. And we do trust that you will enjoy the Word of God. We do give you a warm welcome from Northern Ireland, South of Ireland, England, Australia, New Zealand, and Germany, America, Canada, wherever you're listening in from. May the Lord bless you tonight. And may the Lord speak to you, and most of all, if you're not saved, may you find Christ as your Saviour. And if you need healing, may you find Christ also as your healer tonight. Praise God. We want, first of all, just to pray. I have a few prayer requests tonight. And I want to pray for Sister Carol McDonald's cousin up in Fort William. She's been infected with COVID-19. We want to pray God will deliver her. And we also want to pray for comfort for the Poots family at this time of bereavement, and also for the Watt family and all that, the family circle at this time. And while we're going to pray, if you have a need tonight at your home, I want you just to reverently bow before the Lord and lift your hand in private up to God, and God will see it. I won't see it, but God will see it. It's not important that I see it, but that the Lord can see it. And I'm going to pray for you tonight and for these prayer requests, that the Lord will just have his way. Heavenly Father, we do bow before thee this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this great privilege which we have as the people of God, that we can come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence, because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Lord, we would say with the hymn writer tonight, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Father, I do ask for these families bereaved tonight, for the Poots family, for the Watt family, that thou indeed would comfort them and bless them and strengthen them and be near them this evening. We pray also for this dear sister in Fort William, that thou, Lord, will touch her and heal her from this COVID-19. We ask that the name of Jesus Christ be over this evening and the power of thy blood in Jesus' name. We would pray for her complete deliverance in the name of Jesus Christ. For any tonight with her hand raised at home, Lord, will you touch them and deliver them and set them free in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that thy name and word is strength to their navel and health to their bones. Father, bless your word now, I pray. I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Will the Lord bless each one that's tuned in tonight. And I want to thank Brother Gary and Sister Ruth again for helping us out with the singing, and we really do appreciate it, and I'm sure each one listening in appreciates it as well. I want to continue on with my thought on divine healing facts. And I know that a lot of people don't believe healing is in the atonement, but that doesn't bother me one bit, because I believe it to be absolutely the fact of the Word of God. So if someone else doesn't believe it, doesn't worry me at all. I believe it. Because I believe it. Why? Because I believe the Word of God. We want to read tonight from John 14 and verse 11 to verse 13. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 as well. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Why? Let's read verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Praise God. And it goes on to say, whom the world, the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive, but the believer can. I want you to have your pen and paper near tonight. I'm going to take my time, and I might read some scriptures, quote some scriptures, but you put down whatever you feel led to put down, and you can go back over it again. Jesus Christ said he would continue his same work through his believers while he was with the Father. Now we know when Jesus was here on earth that the Word of God is absolutely clear. All that came to Jesus were healed. All. And Jesus Christ done the will of the Father. So it was the Father's will to heal all. Now he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should be saved. Now all won't get saved, but that doesn't stop us preaching to all to get saved. It's God's will to save all, but all won't come. And I believe it's equally his will to heal. All will not be healed, but we must preach it till all, the way Jesus did himself. Now this certainly includes healing for the sick. Greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And we know that Jesus left this earth, and he went to the Father. And he told his disciples, I'm going away, but I will send another Comforter in my name, the name of Jesus. And that Comforter came on the day of Pentecost, and he endued them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Why? To continue the work what he began. And if you study the book of Acts, it says all that Jesus began, was to be continued, and it cannot be continued unless we have the Holy Spirit. It's paramount, especially as a preacher. A matter of fact, no man should be preaching if he has never received the Holy Spirit. He should be waiting for the Holy Spirit, then he can start preaching after he gets it. But until he gets it, it'd be better waiting. It certainly includes healing. In the connection with the Lord's Supper, the cup is taken in remembrance of his blood, which is shed for the remission of sins. And the bread is eaten in remembrance of his body, which was broken for our diseases, and by his stripes we are healed. And the word stripes means wounds. By the wounds or the stripes of Jesus, we're healed. And when we take communion, it is a type. We're remembering the Lord's death. We're remembering the blood that he shed and how his body was wounded for our healing. Jesus told us that certain teachers were making the word of God of none effect. In Mark 7, verse 13, you can read it. That certain teachers were making the word of God of none effect through tradition. And human ideas and theories have for centuries hindered the healing part of the gospel from being proclaimed and acted upon as it was in the early church. Because of tradition, because of theologians, they think they know more than God, they are not preaching what the early church preached. The early church preached healing. The early church practiced healing. You know the story in the book of Acts. Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man on the way. And, you know, he was begging for alms, and they said, "Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." That's what the early church did. And I believe the last church should be like the first church. Now let me get back to this tradition of men. One tradition is that it's God's will for some of his children to suffer sickness. This is what some people preach. And that therefore, many who are prayed for are not healed because it is not his will to heal them. When Jesus healed the demon-possessed boy in Matthew 17, you can go to it, verse 14 to 21. When Jesus healed that demon-possessed boy, possessed with the devil, his disciples couldn't do it. He proved that it was God's will to heal, even though the disciples failed. Jesus still proved. And furthermore, he assigned the failure of them not being able to cure the boy to their disbelief, their unbelief. He said it's because your unbelief he wasn't healed. And they said, "Lord, help thou our unbelief." He didn't put the failure down till it not been God's will. But many times when prayer is not answered, people say, "Well, it's not God's will." Well, when the disciples' prayer wasn't answered, Jesus said, "It's because of your unbelief." And he went ahead and healed the boy. So it was God's will to do it. You can read it in Matthew 17. Just let's read it. Verse 14. "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil." He didn't say, "Good devil." He didn't give him a tablet. He rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast out the devil?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence to yonder,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. In other words, if you prayed and you feel nothing's happened, go and fast and pray, seek God, and pray again. Maybe it's a stubborn devil. Well, thank God, God can deal with stubborn devils. Amen. The failure of many to be healed today when prayed for is never because it's not God's will to heal them. If sickness is the will of God, then every physician would be a lawbreaker, every trained nurse a defier of Almighty God, and every hospital a house of rebellion instead of a house of mercy. If it's not God's will to heal, why is there millions spent on trying to get people better? If sickness is the will of God, every physician then is a lawbreaker. Isn't that the truth? But since Christ came to do the Father's will, the fact is that he healed them all. All is proof that it's God's will that all be healed. That's proof. Jesus did the Father's will. If it is not God's will for all to be healed, how did anyone in the multitude obtain from Christ what was not God's will for them to receive? The gospel says he healed them all. Matthew 12, verse 15. Luke 6, verse 19. Write these scriptures down. This is the word of God. Jesus says the only place for Jesus didn't heal was for he said they were full of unbelief. He could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. But where the people came believing, Jesus healed them. And he did the Father's will. So it's wrong to teach that it's not God's will to heal. That's false theology. It's wrong to teach it. If it is not God's will for all to be healed, why did the scripture state in Isaiah 53 verse 5? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, which means wounds, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes again wounds ye were healed. He already paid the price for it. How could me and you be declared healed if it's God's will for some of us to be sick? Now these two scriptures I've read you from Isaiah 53 declares us already healed. 1 Peter 2:24 declares us already healed. You say, but brother, how could that be? It's the same as salvation. Your name was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Now you had to come to a place of acceptance, but God, before the foundation of the world, knew you, and he put your name in that book. He didn't put your name in the book the day you got saved. That's not true. A new name written down, it was always written down. He already knew it. Your name was always in there. Now you had to come to acknowledge your sins. You had to repent. You had to be born again. We know that. But it was in the past tense that he paid the price for it. Jesus didn't come again and save you. Your salvation was paid for 2,000 years ago. And your healing was paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago. Christ never refused those who sought his healing. Repeatedly the Gospels tell us he healed all. Christ the healer has never changed. He is Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. He's never changed. You only read of one person in the entire Bible, one person. In all of this Bible there's one person. In Matthew 8 verse 2. And in Luke 5, verse 12 and 13, one person that said, Lord, if you will. Only one person. And it came to pass, Luke 5, verse 12 and 13, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. He didn't say, I'll have to think about it, or ask the Father. It was his will to heal. Do you know why? He came to heal and to save. That's why Jesus came. The whole don't need a physician. It's the sick that need a physician. And Jesus Christ is the great physician. See, Jesus Christ being the Word, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word corrected the error. I will. When the man said, if you will, the Word corrected the error in the leper's thinking and said, I will be clean. Another man made tradition is that we can glorify God more by being patient in our sickness. You know, in other words, it's God's will that we continue on sick. We can, you know, this is God's will. This is what a false teaching. If sickness glorifies God more than healing, then any attempt to get well by nature or divine means would be an effort to rob God of the glory that he would want to receive, wouldn't it? If it's God's will for you to be sick, if it's God's will for you to continue sick, then why would you try and get well? See, it's a total contradiction. If sickness glorifies God, then we should rather be sick than well. If sickness glorifies God, Jesus Christ robbed his Father of all the glory that he possibly could have given him by healing everyone. Jesus healed everyone. But if you're going to tell me it's God's will for you to continue sick, for you're robbing God of the glory, why did Jesus, doing the Father's will, heal all? And the Holy Spirit continued doing the same thing throughout the whole book of Acts. When you read the book of Acts, it's a miracle book. The Bible's a miracle book. And they went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed to the devil. Look what Paul the Apostle says in 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Our bodies and our spirits are bought with a price. We're to glorify God in both. Now that great price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And in the Old Testament, the blood of a lamb in a basin applied upon the doorpost, the instructions God gave to Moses, Exodus 12, verse 13. Notice here what they were told if you read through chapter 12. You read that the blood was to be in the basin, and the blood was to be applied on the doorposts, and that when the plague would pass through to kill them, it wouldn't touch them. What else do you read? You read that their shoes were to be on their feet. They were to be dressed and ready to go. What are you talking about, brother? They were to be dressed, their shoes were to be on their feet. The plague was coming through, the death angel was coming through. But when the blood was applied, it had no power over them. The token. Now how much more when we apply the blood of Jesus Christ under the new covenant, should we be ready to get up in faith and walk if we can't walk? Or if we're dumb to speak or to hear? We should be ready. These people were told to be ready. We should be ready. Ready to move. Ready to travel. That's what they were. How much more should we be ready under the new covenant, under the blood that speaketh better things than that of evils? Don't tell me the Old Testament's more power than the new. Don't tell me that God, under the sacrificial lamb that had no life to come back, the blood was shed, but the lamb had no soul, there was no life to come back. But Romans 8 says of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. It will quicken, make alive your mortal body. When the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross, the life of God was released. You know, Leviticus 17 tells you the life of the flesh is in the blood. And remember, Jesus' blood wasn't Jewish blood or Gentile blood. It was divine blood. It was the blood of his Father for the child takes the blood of the Father. And Jesus' blood was divine. It was without corruption. It couldn't congeal. It couldn't dry up. It still speaks today. And it still acts today, the blood of Jesus. It's more powerful than the Old Testament blood. You know why? Because under the Old Covenant it says their conscience was never cleared. They had to continually sacrifice each year. But the Bible says under a better covenant, our conscience is cleared. Because the blood of Jesus annihilates sin, removes it. And God says to you, your sins and iniquities, will I remember them no more? For they're washed away into the sea of God's great forgetfulness. I think that's wonderful. We do not need to glorify God in our spirits by remaining in sin. Sure we don't. We do not then need to glorify God in our bodies by remaining sick. Many say John's gospel is used to prove that sickness glorifies God. And I'm talking about released Lazarus from the dead. John 11. God was not glorified in this case until Lazarus was raised up from the dead. The result which was many of the Jews believed in him. Now, when they called for Jesus to go and heal Lazarus, they thought he would drop all and go straight away, but he didn't go straight away. And maybe you've been sick and you think God's not going to heal you because it didn't happen right away. Well, the Lord never went to Lazarus right away. But you know the song about that, that Jesus is always on time. The Lord knew that it would be greater if he died and he rose him from the dead. And a man dead 4 days, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And he rose from the dead. And the Jews, many of the Jews in John 11, you read, believed on the Lord. Let me read you what E.M. Barnes says. Faith gathers strength by waiting in prayer, praying. Patience has its perfect work in the school of delay. So I tell you, don't think God's missed you. Don't think you've missed the boat, as it were. The Lord heard you the first time you prayed. And because you didn't get healed right away, doesn't mean God's not going to heal you. Still believe. Hold on in faith. Let me for a moment pause here. I just feel led of the Spirit to do this. Maybe somebody's told you, oh, it's not God's will, because if the Lord was going to heal you, you'd already been healed. All right. What about Abraham? God came to Abraham. And God comes down and he meets Abraham. And he says to Abraham, walk thou before me and be thou perfect. And you know, Abraham had prayed to God. And it's the first answered prayer you read in the whole of the scripture. And God comes to Abraham and he says, I am thy exceeding shield and thy great reward. Reminds me of Hebrews. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Because he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Abraham prayed to God. And God come down to Abraham. And Abraham says, God shall this Eliezer, you know, will his seed, in other words, take over in my house? God said, no, Sarah will bear you a child. And the Bible says it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. And you know, Sarah never had a child the next day or the next year. But 25 years passed. And Abraham was almost 100 years of age. Before anything took place, it seemed an impossibility. It was an impossibility. But that which is impossible with man is possible with God. And you know, the transforming power came on Sarah. And God done something in Sarah. And God done something in Abraham. And Sarah had a child. And they called that child Isaac. And God didn't just do it right away, but God done it. And I tell you, the word of God reminds us that God watches over his word to perform it. To bring it to pass. So hold on in faith to God. Don't give in. Hold on. Believe God. If you're sick and you've been prayed for, you're going to be healed. Believe you're going to be healed. Tell people the Lord's your healer. When you get saved, you tell people, I get saved, don't you? Even if you don't look saved, if you don't act saved, you still say, I'm saved. Why? Because of the word of God. How do you know you're saved? Because the word of God says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how do you know you're healed? Because the word of God says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's the same word of God. Another tradition is that while God heals some, it is not God's will to heal all. But Jesus, who came to do the Father's will, did heal all. Luke 8:43. A woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. If healing is not for all, why did Jesus Christ bear our sickness? There's a woman there, she spent everything she had seeking in the natural. Maybe you've did your best. It's not wrong. If you want to go to the doctor, that's fine. They can sometimes do things and God uses medicine. We believe that. But this woman couldn't be helped by the physicians or the doctors. But Jesus helped her. And she just touched the hem of his garment and she was made whole. And Jesus Christ is the same tonight as he was then. If healing is not for all, why did Jesus Christ bear our sicknesses, our pains, our diseases? If God wanted some of his children to suffer, then Jesus Christ relieved us from bearing something which God wanted us to bear. But since Jesus came to do the will of the Father, and since he has borne our diseases, it must be God's will to heal us all as well. If it is not God's will for all to be healed, then God's promises to heal are not for all. That would mean that faith does not come by hearing the word of God alone. That's what you'd be saying. But by getting a special revelation that God has favored you and wills to heal you. Many people are saying, Lord, I want some great gift of faith. Lord, I want a special revelation. Follow me here. Romans 10 verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. God will give you faith by hearing his word. In other words, when you read and hear the word of God, it gives you faith. You don't need some special thing. I believe you, God can give you a gift of faith. I believe that. But if you're saved, you already have a measure of faith, because the word of God says you have. If God promises to heal, or not for all, then we could not know God's will. It's by reading his word alone. By reading God's word alone, you're saying it's not enough. I believe it is enough. That means we would have to pray until he speaks directly to us about each particular case. He could do, but what if he doesn't? We could not consider God's word as direct to us personally. And God does speak to you from the word. That's how he does speak, from his word. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. His word, the psalmist David says, a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Thus saith the word of God. Now, that's not true, but God would have to close our Bibles and pray for direct revelation from God to know his will to heal each case. God's word is God's will. And God's promises reveal his will. So if you want to know God's will on being saved, what do? You don't tell an unsaved man, go home and pray for a month till you find out God's will to get saved. You would never say that. You would preach to him from the scripture how to get saved from the word of God. You would show him from the word of God, Romans 10 and 9, Acts chapter 2, Joel chapter 2. You would say, sinner friend, the word of God is clear. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. And I tell you, It's the same with healing. We can show the scriptures on healing. Mark 16, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. The book of James, call the elders of church. Anoint them with oil, the prayer of faith will save the sick. If they committed sins, they'll be forgiven, and the Lord will raise them up. That's God's word, and that's God's will. What does the word of God say? Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. Then the best way to build faith in your heart that God is willing to heal you is for you to hear the part of God's word which promises you healing. Just like you will show a man that's not saved the scripture to get saved, then we need to show people that's sick the scriptures to get well. Faith for spiritual healing comes by hearing the gospel. Hear, bore our sins. Listen to this. Faith for physical healing comes by hearing the gospel. He bore our sicknesses. Matthew 8 verse 17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Isaiah 53 verse 5. By his stripes, which is his wounds, we are healed. So he bears your iniquities, he bears your sicknesses. We are to preach the gospel that he bore our sins, isn't that right? To every creature. You don't limit the gospel. Now I know some people do, but they don't read the Bible I'm reading. The great commissions go into the whole world. Preach to every creature. That's the great commission. I believe the word of God, not a theologian. We're to preach the gospel that he bore our sicknesses to every creature as well then. So if he bore our sins, we preach it, then why not preach all of it that he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases? And with his stripes we are already healed. Let me read you this from a wee quotation. Be not afraid, it is I. When Christ died, he settled the sin question. And how can you ever preach salvation for the soul without preaching divine healing? Because that sickness is an attribute of sin. Listen to this. Sickness is an attribute of sin. Before we had sin, we had sickness. There was no sin. There was no sickness, sorry, until there was sin. And sickness came because of sin. Maybe not something you are doing now, but something you inherited. So you inherited Adam's sinful nature, is that right? Sin came into the world by one man. You inherited Adam's sinful nature when you were born. Born in sin and shape and in iniquity. And even though you mightn't have done a particular sin now, you inherited what he done. So that makes you a sinner. But Jesus Christ, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, he bore your sins on the cross. He took your place. He took your place. So that which your first parents give you by inheritance, when you become a son of God by faith, born again of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus, you're a child of the King. You're a son of God. Then you have another inheritance. That's the inheritance that Jesus purchased for you at the cross. Salvation and healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit as well. Christ emphasized his promises. In John 14 verse 14. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If healing is not for all, Christ should have qualified his promise when he said in Mark 11 verse 24. If it's not for all, he should have qualified it. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, if you're going to pray for your neighbor to get saved, what's wrong with praying for your neighbor to get healed? It's the same God. It's all in the same atonement. You would not go home and say, Lord, is it your will to save my neighbor? You would never pray that. But why is it that some people say, Lord, if it be your will you heal such and a one? Jesus corrected that. I will. That's what he said to the leper. I will. He did not exclude healing in the scripture. Therefore, it is included in the whatsoever. This promise is made to you. Whatsoever you pray, believe. If it is not God's will to heal all, his promise would not be dependable. Where Christ said in John 15 verse 7. Here's what he said. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's his will. If you abide in him and he abides in you, are you walking with the Lord? Have you trusted Christ as a Savior? Do you believe he's in you tonight? Is he abiding in you? Then you can ask what you will. Now people can testify and say, Lord, I needed financial help and somebody sent me £100. And that's true. What's the difference from God doing that and God healing your body? None whatsoever. If God can answer that, God can answer for healing. And he does and will. Look what the book of James says in healing. James 5, 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And we know that oil represents the Holy Spirit. Verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So if you've been anointed with oil and prayed for, you're going to get well. That's what the word of God is saying. You're on recovery right away. As soon as you're prayed for, you're going to recover. God's word says it. God's word cannot fail. He could swear by no greater. He swore by himself. Not by two immutable things in which it's absolutely impossible for God to lie. What else? That we might have strong consolation to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This promise is for all, including you. If you're sick, God can heal you. Call the elders of the church. Brother, there's no elders. When then the Bible says in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. If your wife's sick, husband, and you're a believer, pray for her right now. Wife, if your husband's sick and you're a believer, lay hands on him and pray for him. You've got the authority in the word of God to do it. God's word is the authority. It's not the authority of the church, it's the authority of this book. This is the infallible, impregnable, living word of the living God. This book is an absolute right here. Praise God for it. If God today has abandoned healing and answered a prayer in favor of healing only by medical science, as our modern theology teaches, that would mean that he requires us to use a less successful method during a better dispensation. He healed them all when he was here on earth. So now will we have a lesser way, because medicine will not heal all. Thousands are dying and they're getting the best medicine they can get, and thousands are dying. But Jesus healed all, so he had something greater than medicine. It's like a sermon I preached years ago. It was called Medicine That Cannot Be Found in a Bottle. And I want to tell you that medicine that cannot be found in a bottle is the name of Jesus Christ. Smith Wigglesworth said, he went to a bed of a person almost dead. And he said there seemed to be no faith to pray. And the person was almost dead, almost gone. And he said he whispered the name of Jesus. And as he whispered the name of Jesus, that person recovered, stood up, was made whole. Because the Bible says that there is power in the name of Jesus. That name is above every other name. Above the heavens, above the earth. You know the name of Jesus is above the devil. It's above every demon. The name of Jesus is the most powerful name. Many diseases today are incurable. The medical have no cure for them. Cancer today cannot be cured. You know, we're talking about COVID-19. And people are suffering, people are dying. But I want to tell you, my friend, this evening, there's one person every single hour in Northern Ireland that dies with cancer. And there is no cure for cancer in the medical world. Thousands are dying with cancer. But I want to say tonight that Jesus Christ is the answer. And we need to get preaching faith back in every church, back in every pulpit. We need to get back to the Bible and back to the four-square gospel that he's a savior, he's a healer, he's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and he's a coming king. Paul the Apostle tells us that God would have us prepared to every good work. Prepared to every good work. Hebrews 13, verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. A sick person cannot measure up to these scriptures. These conditions would be impossible if healing's not for all. Either healing is for all, or these scriptures do not apply to all. But I believe they do apply to all. Bodily healing in the New Testament is called mercy. Mercy. And it was God's mercy which always moved him to heal the sick. Look at his word says in Psalms 86 verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. The Lord's mercy moved him when he was here to heal. And the mercy of the Lord will move him today. Do you believe we're still living in the day of grace? I do. Then we're still living in the day of mercy. That includes everybody today. Isaiah 53 verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. To prove that our sickness were carried away by Christ. I want to prove to you that it was. Just like our sins were carried away. The same Hebrew verb for born and carried is used to describe both born and carried. It's the same word. He carried it away. He bore it. He carried it. And bore our griefs means our sicknesses. Jesus bore our griefs. He bore our sicknesses. He carried it away. Christ was made to be sin for us when he bore our sins. He was made a curse for us when he bore our sicknesses. Since Christ has borne our sins, how many is it? Is it God's will to heal? To forgive? What would the answer be? Surely it is. If Christ has borne our sins, then it has to be God's will to forgive sins. Is that right? Whosoever believes, that's who he'll forgive. So Christ bore our sins, and will he forgive all? The answer is whosoever believes. Now since Christ bore our sicknesses, how many is it God's will to heal? How many? The answer is he healed them all. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Another tradition is that if we are righteous, we should expect sickness as part of our life. They quote the scripture, Psalms 34, verse 19. And I want you to see that people misquote this scripture. Psalms 34, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. You may fall sick or ill, or have a trial, or be tempted, but God delivers you out of them all. Isn't that right? The Bible doesn't say many are the sicknesses of the righteous. It says the afflictions. Which he requires us to bear. No. He doesn't say he requires you to bear sickness. Affliction. And sickness can be two different things. He, Jesus Christ, bore them all at the cross. And with his stripes, his wounds, we're healed. Isaiah 53:5. Many theologians quote 1 Peter 5:10, and I'm almost finished. But the God of grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. So they say, after you've suffered a while. So they assume it means sickness. Well, it doesn't. This suffering is not referring to sickness of the body, but to the many ways in which God's people have to often suffer for their testimony. Many times we suffer for our testimony, but it doesn't mean we're physically sick. Another tradition is that we are not expected, you know, healing only from certain afflictions, that God's limited. I'm going to tell you tonight, Christ's not limited. Christ is not limited. Now we're going to go back to that thought in a moment about that condition I read you from 1 Peter 5, verse 10. Many misquote the word chasten. Psalms 103, verse 3. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Oh, but somebody says the Lord chastens those he loves. That's true. Here's a scripture. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. God does not chasten. God does. He does chasten those he loves. But it does not say that he makes them sick. To be chastened of the Lord does not qualify and makes you sick. The word chasten here means to instruct, to train, to discipline, to teach, to educate like a teacher. Instruct a pupil. Or like a parent trains and a teacher, a child, to instruct them. When a teacher instructs a student, various means of discipline may be employed, but never sickness. You would never say to your children, I hope you get sick, or I'm going to make you sick because I need to correct you. Would you say that to your children? But people say that about God, and he's our Father. It's instruction. When a parent trains a child, there are many ways to chasten him, but never by imposing physical disease upon him. For a heavenly Father to chasten us does not require that he lay disease upon us. It's false teaching. Our diseases were laid on Christ. If Jesus Christ took our diseases, why would we take them? God could not require that we bear what he bore. Would there have to be another crucifixion? God forbid such stuff as that. False teaching. As punishment, what Jesus Christ has substitutionally borne for us was once for all. Christ's sacrifice freed us forever from the curse of sin and disease, which he bore on our behalf. I tell you, the Lord has paid the price for your sickness. My friend, this evening, don't let the devil lie to you that you're in God's will being sick. Jesus wants to heal you. Jesus has paid the price for your healing on the cross. I'm closing with Exodus 15, verse 26, the latter part of it. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. It's God's will to heal you tonight. And if Jesus healed all that came unto him when he was here on earth, remember Hebrews 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. What about Malachi 3 verse 6? I am the Lord thy God. I change not. He never changes his mind about this word. Let us bow our heads tonight, wherever you are. Let us pray. I want you to be sincere. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith for you. Maybe somebody listening in has a disease that seems incurable, and the doctors can do nothing more for you. I want to tell you that Jesus is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He is our high priest. Everyone quotes he's seated at the right hand of the Father, but let me say this. Let me say this. To be sat down, what does it mean? He is sat down at the right hand of the Father. When you come home from a hard day's work, you sit down because you've finished your job. And Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago said it's finished. He finished the job. Jesus doesn't need to come to do it again. He's done it. He's paid it. You've been given a right to the name that's above every name. That's the name of Jesus Christ. Whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe in my name, you can have it. I'm going to desire for you tonight health and strength. Health to your navel and strength to your bones. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul doth prosper. Bow your heads wherever you are tonight. I'm going to pray for you that God will touch you where you are. I want you to do this where you are. You're at home, you're in secret. There's nobody with you, there's nobody watching. I don't know. If you're a man or a woman and you have a condition in your body, I want you to take your hand and place it on your ailment, whether it's your shoulder or your back or whatever it is. Place your hand on it. If you're a husband and wife and your partner's suffering, brother, place your hand upon your wife tonight. Lay your hands on her. This is a commandment of the Lord, Mark 16. Wife, if your husband's suffering, lay your hands on your husband right now. Obey the word of God. Let's act in faith on the word of God tonight. Lay your hands on your partner, or if you're by yourself, put your own hand wherever your ailment is. I want you to believe God tonight. Now, if you're not saved, you can come to the Lord by calling upon the Lord. Repent of your sins and call on the Lord and you'll be saved. But I'm specifically praying for healing tonight. I'm not a healer, but Jesus Christ is. Heavenly Father, I bow before thee in the matchless, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I've showed your word to the people. Now I pray that the God that wrote the word will come on the scene and confirm this word with signs and with wonders and divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Touch that man. Touch that woman. Where hands is laid on that disease, I rebuke tumors right now. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I curse the demon of cancer right now. You foul demon of cancer, I curse you. I rebuke you. I command you to leave God's people. In the name of Jesus, go out. In Jesus' name. I rebuke the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, touch your people. Heal that man. Heal that woman. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against oppression and depression, that demon of oppression. I rebuke you, devil, in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Father, touch and strengthen your people. Lord, for everyone listening in now, may the Spirit of the Lord come upon them in their homes. Let the Holy Ghost go over these airwaves. Let the anointing of God break every yoke. In the name of Jesus Christ, I decree it tonight. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Wherever your children are, get them round, gather them round. I want to pray for God's protection. Do you believe if the protection under the old covenant, the blood, could protect, how much more can the blood of Jesus under the new covenant? Father, I pray for every little boy, every little girl listening in, or that's on hearts tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, cover them with your blood. Protect them from all the wiles of the enemy. Let that token be on them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Save every one of them. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as we play a song as we go out. Lord bless you. Sunday again, we'll be preaching again. 11 in the morning, 7:30 in the evening. God bless you. Keep me in your prayers, and the Lord bless each one in Jesus' name. God bless you. If you want, sing along at home. Join in the song. Sing along and praise the Lord. The grave's empty, the tomb's empty. Praise God. God bless each one. God bless you all.